Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bamasiyah Daf Chav Zayin. We are holding on Daf Chav Vavam Beis, two lines from the bottom of the page. Alokeach Peiros Mechavero. Today's show is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, an honor of his wife and children, and the Nishmas' mother, Golda Basimcha La Shalom, the Shem Shav Aliyah, also by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Atzlacha for our soldiers and for our captives, Yisrael, return home safely, and also by Rabbi Bruckheimer in loving memory of his wife, Hindel Basel Yaakov HaKohen, Zichron Levracha, and the Shem Shav Aliyah, and in honor of his real Bar Mitzvah anniversary, which is Adar Sheni, we thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. First thing we're going to discuss is, when can a person who buys fruits and finds money among the payros, when can he keep them and when does he have to return them? The Mishnah had said, Harei Elu Shelo, which is a little bit surprising. You would think that it belongs to the fellow who had sold them the fruits, but so the Gemara is going to qualify that. Then the Mishnah on the top of Amud Aleph is going to talk about the halachos of Hashavas Haveda that we derive from the word Simla. The Torah gave examples of items that are lost that you have to return. One such example was Simla. Why would the Torah give that particular example? And that leads the Gemara to discuss why the Torah gave all of the examples that it gave. It in fact gave four examples of lost objects they have to return. A shor, a chamar, a seh, a simla. What do I learn from each of these examples given by the Torah? Then the bulk of Amud Aleph is going to discuss two opinions of how we know that there is no chiyuv hashavas aveda on something that is worth less than a shavah pruta. So once there are two possible limudim to derive that halacha from, we then have to discuss what each amora does with the other person's limud, with the other amora's limud, and also what's the nafgamina between them. What difference does it make if you use one limud or the other in terms of the dinim of hashavas aveda and something that's less than a shava pruta? Then on the very bottom of Amud Aleph, going through the whole rest of the daf, we're going to have a discussion about simanim. The concept that you're meshav aveda b'simanim, is that a din d'rabbanan? Is that a din d'oraisa? The Gemara is going to have four rayos, whether it's a din d'rabbanan or a d'oraisa. Then the Gemara is going to suggest a lema kitanoi, that maybe it's in fact a machlokas tanoim, but then we're going to have three alternative ways to understand that machlokas tanoim, where they're not at all arguing about whether simanim d'oraisa or Rabbanan. Then Rava is going to come up with a raya that simanim must be da'oraisa. The Gemara is going to reject that raya. So all of Amud Beis and going into tomorrow's daf already is about whether simanim are da'oraisa or derabbanan. So let's begin two lines from the end of the page on daf chaf vav Amud Beis. Halokeach peros mechaveros. So we said that if a person purchases peros or someone sends him peros and then he finds money in the peros, so the Mishnah said arei l'shalo, and it's only if they are tsururin that you need to go and announce it. This whole idea that if you buy payros and you find money in them that you're allowed to keep them, that's only if you buy from a merchant, because that guy himself had purchased his produce from a bunch of different farmers and he has no idea who he got those payros from. So since there's no simon in the money, the bailim, the original bailim who the socher had gotten them from, was probably miyaish on them. But if you bought from a private individual who is not a socher, who doesn't buy and sell, who just sells his own stuff, so then you have to return it to that balabayas, because you know that those payros belong to that balabayas. The Rashba points out, this is presuming that the lokeach is also a balabayas. But if the tagar buys from the balabayas, so then probably the original bailim was miyaish on them, because it's the derech of a tagar to turn around and sell it right away. So as soon as the balabayas has sold it to the tagger, he probably is miyaish on the money because he thinks it's long gone. He's never going to be able to track where those peros had gone. But if it's a balabayas buying from a balabayas and you find money in there, then you are chayiv lahachzar. It's just that if you are buying from a tagger, then you are not chayiv lahachzar. That's how Rashi understands, which makes it sound like if the tagger were to buy from a balabayas, he'd be neman to say who he bought them from, who he had purchased them from. Meaning Rashi says that the reason if you buy from a tagger you don't have to return it is because the tagger buys from 1,000 people, so he has no idea who he got it from. But what if he has only one supplier? The mashmos of Rashi is that if he has only one supplier, then he is nemut to say this is my supplier and that's who it came from. And that's what the Ran writes, that an Eid Echol is Neman on Hashavas Aveta, because he has no Anah from it. He's just telling you it came from this one guy who is my supplier, and therefore you should believe him. And we don't assume that the Tagger himself is Zocha in the money with the Kinyan Chatzar. The Rashma explains, because whenever you don't know that it's in your Rashus, you can't be Kona with the Kinyan Chatzar. He took these Peros, he turned around and sold them. He never found the money inside these Peros, so he never had any idea while it was in his Chatzar that there was money here. The Tagger I'm talking about. So therefore, there's no kinyan chatzar. Furthermore, the Rashba says, since the Tagger knows that there are sometimes ma'us among the payros, and he just doesn't have time to go searching for it. It's a couple of pennies. It's usually not that much money that you're going to find among the payros. It's not worth his time to search through all the payros and to look for money. So he just flips it and sells it. So therefore, that's as if he was already miyayish on it by not taking the time to go look for the money. Okay, v'chein tani tana kamed Rav Nachman. And they taught this in the Brisa, the person who taught Brisa in front of Rav Nachman, that when we say that if you buy Peros, you can keep the money, that's only if you buy from a merchant who has many different suppliers. But if you buy from a single Balabayas, then you must return the money. Amarle Rav Nachman, so Rav Nachman said to the person teaching this Brisa to him, V'chi Balabayas ba'atzmo dashan. Wait a second. You think even if you buy from a Balabayas, is he himself the one that's threshing the grain, that you assume that the money must be his? He probably has a ton of workers working on his farm. He has a bunch of farm hands. There are a lot of people that it could have fallen from. So Amalei Isme. So the person who was teaching the Brisa in front of Menachem said, okay, so should we erase this Brisa? Meaning he was saying over Brisas that they had traditions for. Rav Nachman was challenging. So he said, does that mean this is not an authoritative Brisa because your Kasha is such a strong Kasha? So Amalei Rav Nachman said, no, slow down. I'm not telling you to erase the Brisa. We have to make it a Kimta. Lo, to target Mas. It must be that the people that are doing the work for him on the farm are his own Eved Kanani, Shibcha Kananis, where we say Kol Mashakana Eved Kana Rabo, and therefore they don't have any money of their own. So whatever money they lose in there is going to be the money that belongs to the Balabayas anyway. New Mishnah now. So as we mentioned, the Torah, when it tells us that you have to do Hashavas Aveda, says V'chein Tasa L'Chamaro, V'chein Tasa L'Simlaso, V'chein Tasa L'Chal Aveda Sachicha Shetov and Menu Matzasa L'Sucha L'Sal. So the Torah specifically gives an example of a simla, of an item of clothing, as a typical thing that you would do a Shabbos Aveda on. So, afa simla haisa b'chal kalelu. Well, we already, the pasuk's going to say l'chal aveda sachecha. So once it says achicha, once it says l'chal aveda sachicha, that includes every aveda. So v'lama yatzos, why does it have to give an example of a simla? So l'hakish e'leha, to make a hekish to a simla, between the simla and other things for which you have to do a Shabbos Aveda. L'omer l'cha, to teach you. Just like a stam simla, when there is something that's typical to have a simon on it, begadim typically have a simon, and it's something that the bailim would be toveya, they would want it back because it's not the kind of thing that you would get from hefker. It's something that's of value to people. You only have to make announcements. You only have to do hashavas aveda on things that have simonim and have tovim, but something that doesn't have any tovim, the bailim or misyaish from, so then it belongs to the person who found it, even though there may be simanim. You need both of those qualifications, that there are simanim, and that there are people that have not given up hope in it, are still interested in retrieving it. That's what we learn from the word simla. So it says, my b'chlal kol elu. What do you mean simla is b'chlal kol elu? That we then need to explain why it mentions simla. So I'm rav b'chlal kol aveda sachicha. It's already included in the phrase kol aveda sachicha, and that's why the Mishnah struggles to figure out why we mention simla separately. Now, it says in the parsha of Hashavas Aveda several examples. It says, Lo sira eshar achicha, o eseyo, nidachim v'salam t'b'shav v'shav t'ashiv m'lachecha, v'chein t'asal chamoro, v'chein t'asal simlaso. So four different examples. You have shor, chamor, seh, simla. Now, our Mishnah only explained what we derive from simla. So, amarav, alamli, dekas v'rachmana, shor, chamor, seh, v'simla. Why does the Torah have to give me four different examples of an aveda if it's already going to say kol aveda sachicha that includes any aveda? So tzrichi, it needs to give these four examples. Dikas v'rachmana simla. If it only would have given the example of simla, hava amida hanimili be'edim degufa v'simanim degufa, I would say that you only have to do a shavas aveda when there were edim or simanim on the object itself. Aval chamor be'idim du'ukaf, v'simonim du'ukaf. But a chamor, where typically the donkey has no distinguishing characteristics, it's his saddle that has distinguishing characteristics. So I would think that since that's not on, that is not part of the body of the donkey itself, say melo madrinale, I would think you don't return a donkey based on the simonim of the ukaf. So kas rachmana chamor dafilu chamor b'simonim u'ukaf. That even when it comes to chamor, where the simonim are only going to be on the saddle, it's not going to be on the donkey's body itself, you would still return the chamar. So then the Gemara says, okay, shor v'sad d'chaz rachman alamali. So you've explained simla, you've explained chamar. What do I learn from the examples of shor and seh? So shor da'afilu l'gizas zinavo, that even the hairs on the end of its tail that you have to cut off once in a while, it might have some minimal value, you have to return that as well. That as you're taking care of this aveda, it may need a trimming of the tail, so the hair that you cut off of the trimming of the tail would go back to the bialim as well. You don't get to keep that. V'seh, and when the Torah says seh, ligizosav, for all of the shearings of a sheep, that you have to return that to the bialim as well. So it says, Umar v'lichtov rachman ashar, da'afil ligizas nava, v'kol shkain seh ligizosav. Well, I don't need both of those words. Just tell me the shar, where there are very minimal shearings. And if I even have to return the very minimal shearings of the end of the tail of a shar, then kal v'chomer, I'm going to have to return the significant shearings of a sheep. So why does it have to mention seh? Ella amarava chamor debar l'Rabbi Yehuda and seh da aveda l'divrei hakol kasha. Essentially saying that the word seh in this pasuk is very difficult to understand what it's coming to teach me. So we leave it as a kasha, what the word seh is coming to teach me. What's this chamor debar l'Rabbi Yehuda? So that brings us back to usukya in Bava Kama, right? The Torah says v'chiyiftach ish bar o kiyichre ish bar, that if you dig a bar and you don't, or you open a bar and you don't cover it up, v'nafal shama shor o chamar, and a shor or a chamar falls in the bar, so you're going to be chayav for that. So the Gemara Baba Kama Daf Nun Gimel says, what do I learn from the word chamar? Lema'it kelim bebar, that you're not chayav on kelim, on damage of kelim in a bar. That if kelim break in your bar, the bala bar is pater. But Rabbi Yehuda says that I learned from the word O, l'rabos es hakelim. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, that I use the word O, l'rabos es hakelim, that there is no patur of kelim in a bar, what does the word chamor teach me in the pasuk about bar? So that's what the Gemara is saying, that chamor de bar, l'Rabbi Yehuda, the word chamor in the parsha of bar, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that kelim are chayiv in a bar, is very difficult. We don't have an explanation of what it's doing, of what it's teaching. And the word seh in the parshas of Hashavas Aveda, according to all Tanoim, is very, very difficult. What exactly it's teaching? So, frankly, Gemara, I'll tell you what it's teaching. Ve'ema legalalamu da'asa. Maybe the Torah writes seh to tell me that you have to return even the galalim, which is less chashuv than the giza of the tail of the shor. Meaning, once I already have shor, I already know things that are very insignificant. So, whatever it's seh is teaching me, maybe it's teaching me that I have to return things that are even less significant than the shearings of the tail of the shor, like the galalim, like the excrement of the that could be used for fertilizer from the seh. So says Gemara, no, you don't have to return that. Galule afkure mafkerlu. The bialim is mafker the galalim for whoever finds the aveda, because whoever finds the aveda, at least he's taking care of the aveda, he's doing me a favor. At least let him keep that. Let him at least have the galalim. That's how Rashi explains. Rashash wonders. He says, normally, hefker is only hefker when you're mafkir l'kol ha'olam. The Gemara is going to say that. We'll have that in a couple of davenim now. So how can you say that he's mafkir, and Rashi explains, to the guy who's taking care of his aveda, because I'd rather be mafkir the galalim to him as hakar satov for taking care of my aveda. That's not hefker. Hefker means you're mafkir it to the entire world, not that you're mafkir it to this guy who's doing you a favor. So the Rashash writes, it must mean that it doesn't really mean hefker. It means mechila, matana, or something like that. Or alternatively, if he has no idea who's taking care of his aveda, he's mafkir it to anyone who wishes to take care of his aveda, and maybe that too is considered hefker Hefker Lakol. The Dvar Avraham just raises the question that if that's the assumption that a Baal HaBehema is Mafkir the Galalim to whoever takes care of his Behema under any circumstances, so everyone who ever takes care of a Behema should have a din of a Shomer Sachar because they're always getting something in return, and you should never have such a thing as a Shomer Chinam when it comes, unless there's a special Tanai attached to the care of the animal. Unless you maybe you'll say, well, the Galalim are worth so little, how could that make someone a Shomer Sachar? Remember, Prutad Rav Yosef is enough to make someone a Shomer Sachar. The chance that someone might ask for tzedakah while you're watching the Aveda, and then you won't have to give the tzedakah because you're busy being Osik B'mitzvah, that's considered a Shomer Sachar. The money you might save by not having to give the tzedakah in that moment. So I don't know. So it says Dvar Vam. It's a little difficult to understand. It would seem every Shomer of an animal is a Shomer Sachar. So anyway, asking Mar Vaiter, V'dilma L'siman Mudasa. Maybe the reason the Torah says the word "set" is to tell me that you do Hashavas Aveda when someone gives simanim, when there are no edim to testify that this belongs to this fellow, that simanim alone are enough reason to return the Aveda, the Bailan, because after all, the bulk of today's daf is really going to be about the topic of simanim da'oraisa or da'rabanan. Are simanim din da'oraisa or din da'rabanan? So Kas Rachman has said, dafil b'simanim adrinam b'simanim da'oraisa. Maybe that's what the word "set" is teaching me, that "set" is something that has simanim and you return something that has simanim on a doraisa level. So Amri mi diktani luhu tana the simanim gabe simla diktani masimla miuchad sheish masimanim v'yeshatov v'chayv l'achrus av kol sheish masimanim v'yeshatov v'chayv l'achrus shema mina disel lav l'simanim udasa. From the fact that our Mishnah derives simanim from the word simla, it must be meaning when our Mishnah is telling me that that you return things with simanim, and the point of our Mishnah is to explain what the word simla is teaching me, that already indicates to me that se is not the source of simanim. That even if you do hold simanim daraisa, which the simple reading of our Mishnah suggests, the Gemara is going to say, that simanim are daraisa, because it derives it from the word simla, but even if it's daraisa, it's derived from simla, not from se. And therefore, at the end of the day, we're not really sure what we learn from the word seh. There are four examples in the Torah of the items that you do a Shavas Aveda on. Three of them, we know what they teach us. One of them, we have no idea what it's actually teaching us. So Tanu Rabbanan, we have a brisa that says as follows. Asher Tova, the Pasuk says that V'chein Tasa L'chamarov, V'chein Tasa L'samlasov, V'chein Tasa L'cholvei T'sachicha, Asher Tovad Mimenu U'matzasa. So that phrase, Asher Tovad, Prat la'aveda shein b'shav bruta. That comes to tell me that you do not have to do Hashavas Aveda when it's not worth a shav bruta, because that's not called an aveda. That's how Rashi teaches that it's not called an aveda. Sher Tovah tells me it needs to be an aveda, and if it's less than a shav bruta, it's not called an aveda. The Ritva writes that no, it's not from the word aveda. The phrase is Asher Tovad mimenu, that the aveda has to be mimenu. If it's not shav bruta, then it's not lost mimenu, because he's not really missing anything. He's missing something that's less than a prutas. That's not really called something that's missing from him. That's how the Ritva darshans from the word mimenu. And the Ritva says an avaraya, because the Gemara is going to ask, according to the Tana, that learns the din of aveda shem b'shav pruta from this phrase, asher tovad mimenu, how are we going to learn the din of avuda mimenu mikol adam? Meaning, don't we already learn from mimenu that it has to be something that's only lost to him, but if it's being swept away by the river, it's mimenu mikoladam, then it's not an aveda. Well, what do you mean? One is from the word tovad, and one is from the word mimenu. Elamai says the Ritva. The reason the Gemara asks such a kasha is because they're both from the word mimenu. Both the din that it needs to be mimenu and not mimenu mikoladam, as well as this din that it's got to be at least a shava pruta in order to have a chiyuv hashava, are both from the word mimenu and not from the word tovad. But anyway, that's the Tanakama says, from that phrase, Asher Tovad Mimenu, whichever way you want to learn, like Rashi that it's from Tovad, or the Ritva that it's from the word Mimenu, but from that phrase, Asher Tovad Mimenu, that's how I know that you have no Chiyuv HaShavas Aveda Pachas Misham Pruta. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. He says, no, it's from a different word. Umatzasa, Prat Laveda Shein B'Shav Pruta. Umatzasa sounds like you found something significant. So the Mitziah needs to be a Shav Pruta, and only then is the Mitzvah of HaShavas Aveda activated. So my Binayu, what's the difference between seen Tanakam and Ravidom Rabbi Mashmal Sorsh. What do you mean? So, you know, as they say, Nafkamin is, do you know how to learn or do you not know how to learn? Do you know how to read a Pasuk in Chumash or do you not know how to read that? So they're arguing how to read a Pasuk in Chumash. Mar Nafkale me Asher Tovadu, Mar Nafkale me Matzasa. One learns from Asher Tovadu, one learns from Matzasa. Laman de Nafkale me Asher Tovad, Hayu Matzasa me Avodai. Okay, let's assume like the Tanakam that you learn that Pasuk Misham Pruta, you have no Chiva Shava from Asher Tovad. So then what do you do with the word Umatzasa? Is there any limud from that? So that is used to teach the din of Rav Na'i. In Masechs Baba Kama, the girsi is Ravina, which is the more popular Amora. So whoever it is, either it's a corruption of Ravina's name, or there's another Amora named Rav Na'i. Da'am Rav Na'i. Rav Na'i says, when it comes to Hashavas Aveda Umatzasa, Ta'asali Yade Mashma. It sounds like Matzasa, that it's already in your hand. So from the fact that after the Torah says Avedas Achicha, it right away says Umatzasa. So I learned that not only do you not Avedas Achicha means a not shall guy, that you have no mitzvah of Shabbos Aveda on a Nachriz Aveda. So I learned from there that not only do I not have to be Toreach to pick up and to look for an Aveda of a Nachri, but even where I already have the Aveda of the Nachri in my hand, I have no Chiyuv of Hashava. That even if I've already picked it up, meaning it's not just that Lo Sukha Le Salim doesn't apply to an Aved of an Achri. From the word of Matzasa, I learned that even if I've already found it, I already have it, I still don't have a Chiyuv HaShavas Aveda to an Achri. What does that mean exactly? No Chiyuv HaShavas Aveda to an Achri, so it's just mine? So the Bach in Yerodeya and Simkuf Mem Vav writes, no, it's not yours. It's just that you don't have to return it. So what does that mean? So the Arsameach explains, it means that if the guy were to come and say, hey, that's mine, and you believe him that it is his, you have to give it back to him, because it is, in fact, his. It's not yours. It's just that you have no obligation to be machriz and to look for him and to go return it. Rabbi Kiva Eger, however, says, no, it actually belongs to you. Meaning, if you have no chiyuv HaShavas Aveda, hare elu shalo, then you're actually allowed to keep it because it is yours. If you derive from umutzasa, so what are you going to learn from the phrase asher tovad mimenu that the Tanakama had used to teach pachs mishav pruta has no chiyuv HaShava? So mibay lelich Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yehuda would use that phrase to teach me the din of Rabbi Yochanan. Dam Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Minayin Laveda Sheshtaf Narashim Muteres. How do I know that if Naveda is being swept away by the river, that you don't have a Chiva Shavas Aveda, you're allowed to keep it? Shinem Rav Chen Tasa L'chol Aveda Zachicha Shetovad Mimenu Umatzasa. So from the word Mimenu, which is extra, we say Misha Avuda Heimenu Umatsuya Eitzel Kaladam. You have a Chiva Shavas Aveda when the Bailim lost it, but others can easily find it. Yatzazo Shavuda. But if it's being swept away by the river, not only did the Bailim lose it, it's not easily found by anybody else either. So therefore, there's not going to be a Chiyuv HaShavas Aveda. So since the Torah has to write Mimenu to teach me that din, so Mimela, the Torah also has to write Asher Tovad, because the word Mimenu can't appear in a vacuum. Right? This is the way Rashi is going to learn. The way the Ritva learns this is that it's all from the word Mimenu. Right? That Rabbi Yehuda's Drasha and the Tanakama's Drasha and this Drasha of Mimenu Mikolam is all from the word Mimenu. The way Rashi learns it is, no, I need the word Mimenu to teach me the din of that there's only a Shavas Aveda when others can easily find it. And once it's saying Mimenu, of course it's going to say Asher Tovad, because you can't just drop the word Mimenu in the middle of nowhere. It has to be part of a sentence structure. V'idach, and Rabbi Yudah, who learns from Umatzasa, for an Aveda that's less than a Shavas Pruta, had Rav Na'i Minale, how's he going to know the din of Rav Na'i? So Nafkalei, me Umatzasa. He learns it from the extra Vav in Umatzasa. V'idach had Rabbi Yochum Minale, and Tanakamu learns from Asher Tovad that to exclude an Aveda that's Pachs Mishav Pruta, how is he going to learn the drasha of Rabbi Yochanan that an Aveda that's Avud Mimenu Mikaladam has no Chiyuv HaShava, that if it's lost to everybody there's no Chiyuv HaShava? Well, Nafkalei Mimenu, he derives it from the word Mimenu, that it sounds like only that which is lost Mimenu and is Matzoi Lishar Kaladam, and not that which is lost to everybody. V'idach, and Rabbi Yudah learns that an Aveda that's not a Shavar Pruta from the word umatzasa, why does it have to say asher tovad? The din of an aveda that's a vudu mikol adam, you can learn from the word mimenu itself. So mimenu lo mashmalei. He doesn't think that the word mimenu, without the words asher tovad, he's not going to darshan them separately. So since the mimenu is needed to exclude an aveda that's a vudu mikol adam, the Torah writes asher tovad mimenu. So now Rav explains the machloks tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda a little bit differently. Rava amar pruta shulhuzlo ikabinayu. We had asked, again, we had two drushes. How do I know that if Naveda is worth less than a Shava Pruta, they have no Chiyav Hashava? So Tanakama had said, oh, I learned that from Asher Tovad. Rabbi Yehuda says, I learned from Umatzasa, meaning Rabbi Yehuda says, it's the way Rashi learns, it's not an Aveda if it's not a Shava Pruta. And Tanakama says, and Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's not a Metzia if it's not a Shava Pruta. So we had asked the main Nafkamina whether you're learning that it's not an Aveda or that it's not a Metzia. So we said, Nafkamina is, do you know how to learn or do you not know how to learn? Which is the worst Nafkamina, meaning we want to have a Nafkamina la'alacha, not just Nafkamina of how to read the pasuk. So says there may be actual Nafkaminas la'alacha. Ikabinayu, that Mandyam Me'asher Tovad, Ikabinayu Pruta Shuhuzla, Ikabinayu, again, Rava Amar, Pruta Shehuzla Ikabinayu. The Nafkamina between them might be, what if it was worth the Pruta at the time that the guy lost it? But by the time you found it, it went down in value and now it's worth less than a Pruta. So Mandyam Me'asher Tovad, Ika, if you say that it's not an Aveda, if it's not a Shava Pruta. Ooh, so this was an Aveda, because at the time that it was lost, it was worth the Shava Pruta. But if you say that the limud is that it's not a Metzia, if it's not a Shava Pruta, well, then this is not a Metzia, because by the time it was found, it was not worth the Shava Pruta. So it says, but doesn't everybody agree that it still needs to be a Metzia at the time that you find it? Meaning, even if you derive it from the word Asher Tovad, but umatzas is still a word in the Pasuk, so it has to be a Metzia still. So Ela Pruta Shukra. No. So nafkamina is if you flip it. It went up in value. At the time that it was lost, it was worth less than a Shava Pruta. By the time you found it, it was worth more than a Shava Pruta. Samadhi Amutsasa Ika. If you only need the Metzia to be worth a Shava Pruta, so it is. Umadhi Amutsasa Tavad Lecha. And if you only need the Aveda to be worth a Shava Pruta, well, it's not. It wasn't at the time that it was lost. So, Frakti Gemara, yeah, but that doesn't work because Umadhi Amutsasa Bina Asher Tavad Lecha. Even if you darshan from Mutsasa, it still needs to be an Aveda at the time of the Aveda. Now, nafkamina between them, between the time Kam and Rabbi Yehuda, is if at the time that it was lost, it was worth the Shava Pruta. Then it went down in value, and it wasn't worth the Shava Pruta. Then it went up in value again, and now it's worth the Shava Pruta. So, Mandi Amar Asher Tovad, according to the time Kam, that we exclude an Aveda that's possibly Shava Pruta from Asher Tovad, Ika. So then there would be a Chiv HaShava, because we look at the Shas Aveda, and it was worth the Shava Pruta. But Mandi Amar Matzasa, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that we exclude an Aveda that's less than a Shava Pruta from Umatzasa, be inon di ispa shir mitzia mishas aveda ad shas mitzia. Then you're going to darshan what he's adding by saying I learned from Matzasa is that it has to be a mitzia the entire time from the moment it became an aveda until right now. And this had a window of time where it was not an aveda, where it was pachs mishav pruta, and therefore I would not have a chiv hashava on such an item. So that's the nafkamina between them. Now we move on to the largest topic of today's daf. So yibayilu simanim d'oraisa odrabanan. Our simanim, the very notion that you have to return something, b'simanim, is that a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabanan. Pnei Yeshua points out that the subject of the Gemara could be understood in two ways. But one possibility is that the reason to say that simanim would not work min haTorah is because maybe there's another object that has these very same simanim, and therefore the object that you found and that this guy is giving simanim for is not the same object he lost, because it could be that several items have these same simanim. That's one svar to say simanim and not d'oraisa. The other svar to say simanim and not d'oraisa is because maybe the guy who's coming to claim that this item was his and that he had lost it and he's giving these simanim, maybe he's a shakran. Maybe he saw his friend had this item, he studied it carefully, he saw all the simanim, and now he's claiming it to be his because he was he had seen this item. So maybe simanim are not enough proof of your ownership. So maybe proof that you know how to identify this item, but that doesn't mean that you are the owner. You may be a shakran. Nafkamina between them, says the Pnei Yeshua, is a siman muvhak. So it doesn't help with the shakran, because he could still see his friend's item has a siman muvak and just memorize that siman muvak. But if it's a chashash that maybe other things have this same siman and then maybe they don't, so then a siman muvak would be good enough, because other things don't have a siman muvak. They may have some level of siman, but not a siman muvak. So in the maskana, we're going to say that a siman muvak is for sure d'oraisa. So at the maskana, in the end of the day, the shaila about simanim d'oraisa, simanim d'rabanan, is really only about a siman she'eno mufak, and therefore it's a raya l'chora that the issue is about is not about a shakran, because if it was about a shakran, then the same machloka should apply to a siman mufak or a siman she'eno mufak. The issue just is, do I have to be choshish that something else has the same siman? So by a siman mufak, for sure not, and by a siman she'eno mufak, that's our shaila. So anyway, my nafkamina, what's the difference to halacha whether simanim work min haTorah mitrabanan? Either way, you got to return it. So that do we get the isha b'simanim? What if the stakes are higher than just dinei mamonos? What if there's the yichus of klal Yisrael at stake over here? What if there's ishus at stake? So e amrit daraisa madrina, if simanim daraisa, so good, it's a machriya b'daraisa, so you can return it. V'amrit rabbanan kiyov rabbanan takanta b'mamona of b'isura lov rabbanan takanta. But if it's only drabbanan, the rabbanan may have made such a takana for mamon, but they're not going to make such a takana for something that's such a high stakes type of shaila. So says Mar, let's try to bring four rayas, whether simanim daraisa or drabbanan. First raya from our Mishnah, Toshima. That our Mishnah said, why does the Torah give the example of Simla when it talks about a Shabbos Aveda? To tell me that just like a Simla is something that has a Simen and you have to announce it, so to anything that has a Simen you have to announce. That's what I learned from a word in the Torah. So you see clearly it's a Din D'oraisa. So it says, no, what we really learn from the word simla is that it needs to be mamash yesh latovin. That if the person was already miyayish, then you have no chiyuv of hashav saveda. Once we're mentioning that din, we throw in the din drabanan of simanim also, because that could also be associated with simla, even though it's not a real drusha gemura. Meaning that's really only an asmachta from Simla, but once we're mentioning Simla, we're mentioning the real din of Simla, so we, Derech Agav, we throw in the din of Simanim as well, even though that's only a Takanas Chachamim. So not a Raya Mukrachas from our Mishnah. So says Mar Tashma, I'll bring you another Raya, that we had a Drasha on Amud Aleph, that Chamor B'Simane Ukaf, that you return a Chamor, the reason the Torah said Chamor, meaning we tried to explain, why does the Torah give all four examples of lost objects? So the reason it gave the example of Chamor is to tell me that even if the siman is not on the physical body of the chamor itself, but it's on the saddle of the chamor, that's enough to return it. That sounds like it's a drasha min haTorah from the word chamor. So ema be'edei ukaf. No. It's not about simanim of the ukaf. It's edim, that edim testify. Oh yes, we know that saddle belonged to this owner, and that's enough evidence to return. But it's not about simanim. It's only about edim necessarily. So Tashima says, well, let's try to bring a raya from a brisa. Pasuk says, "Bahaya imcha adrosh achicha oso." That you find this aveda, you bring it home, and you keep it until someone seeks it out. Do I think you have to give it to him before the guy who lost it asks for it? Meaning, I don't know who to return it to unless I find that there's someone looking for it. So, what's the Torah teaching me? Elo darshayu imramayhum eino ramay. Now, what it's telling us is, don't be so trusting. Just because someone says that it is, you also have to see if he's a ramay or not. You have to see if he's a liar or not. So, my lav b'simanim, how do you test if he's a ramay? So, it seems that the best way to do that is seeing if he has simanim or not. There's no way you're going to be able to judge a person whether he's honest or not. So, the best way to do that is with simanim. So, you see, it's a drasha from the pasuk. That's what that phrase in the pasuk of adrosh achicha oso is telling me, that you have to see if he's a ramay. So, it says, Marlo be'edim. No, maybe the way to test whether he's a ramay on a Torah level is not with simanim. Maybe it's by having edim that testify that this object belongs to this fellow. Tosas raises the question that we're going to have a Mishnah in tomorrow's daf that says that from this pasuk we learn that you don't return to a rabbi even if he says the simanim, because we're choshesh that he heard these simanim from somebody else. So the Torah must mean be'edim. How does the Gemara even have a havamina to darshan that it's be'simanim? So Tosas says that the Mishnah later on is an asmachta, it's not a drasha gemura. Or the Mishnah later on is talking about in a case where you know that the guy's a Ramai, and that's why you need Eitan, because it's not maybe he is, maybe he's not. You know there's a dishonest person. So a dishonest person, you're only gonna return something to him if he has Eitan, not with Simanim. But anyway, Tashima, Raya number four. There is a Mishnah Masechet Yevamos that talks about Eitan that testify that a fellow had died and they're trying to be Matir's wife to get remarried. She shouldn't never be Naguna. So the Mishnah says, Ein mi Eitan, Ella al Partsuf Haponim, Imach. If they saw the face of the nifter and they saw with the nose, they were able to see, they were able to have facial recognition, so then they could be made that it's that guy. Even though there may be other simanim on his body, you know that he had something on his arm, you know that he wore this type of clothing, so shemamina simanim lavdarais. Apparently that's not good enough evidence for ishul matters. And we said the whole nafkamina, whether simanim darais or drabanim, would you rely on it for matters of ishul? So apparently simanim are not darais. So says no, amri, gufo, darach, the goats, kalev, the cheshin, the shela, the types of simanim that we were talking about that are not on his face, that are on his body, or that are on his kelim, are very weak kinds of simanim. They say, oh, he was 5'7". I mean, half of the Jewish men are 5'7". That's not a riot to anything. Just because you saw the height of the body or the kelim that he wore, this item of clothing. People borrowed clothing all the time, so you have to be choshesh that it wasn't him. Frankly, well, if we're worried that people borrow things, well, how can you ever return a chamar just based on the simanim of the saddle? Samri ukaf lo shu'uli inish ukfa mishum de mesakef lechamra. People don't lend saddles out because it scratches, it's very... it's fitted to the particular animal, so it will harm the borrower's animal. So you might say, "Makelav b'chivri b'sumki," or it could be with the kelim. It's not that it's that we're choshesh that it's borrowed. It just wasn't a siman mufak on the kelim. They came and said he was wearing a black raincoat. I mean, you look outside, black raincoats in every shul closet is full of black raincoats. It's not a riot to anything. Ella had the tanya. So it's from the following brisa. So kosher b'kis o ba'arniki b'tabas o shabtzo ben kelav. I feel this man. Ruba kosher, that if you find a shliach lost a get and then he finds it tied in his wallet or in one of his other kelim and it's tied in a certain way, even the zman ruba the get is kosher because we're so mechanosi manim. So he's talk that cheshin l'sheila. But if you're worried about sheila, maybe people lend these things out. Kimutzava kosher because my kosher. Why would it be kosher nechosh l'sheila? Shouldn't you have to be worried that maybe the shliach get was mashiel his kiss to someone else, and he tied the get in there, so it's not a raya for that. The fact that he's giving simanim to the kiss, that the get belongs to him. Maybe the borrower of his kiss owns that get. So amri kiss v'arniki v'tabasul mashali yinshi. People don't lend those things out. Why not? Kiss v'arniki mishum demesamni. It's considered bad luck to lend those things out. Tosus says that's an iser nichush to think that it's bad luck and to not lend these things out. So Tosus has an answer. V'tabas mishum demesayif, and tabas is because of a concern that someone will forge your signature if you give your signet ring to somebody. So now says Gemara, okay, so we tried four rayas, they all failed. So lema katanayim, maybe this issue of simanim daraisa is really subject to machlokas tanayim, because it says ein mi'idin ala shuma. You can't be made about the identity of a man based on a wart that you saw on his body, one of his limbs. Oh, so what are they arguing about? Can we rely on a siman? That must be the machlokas. So it says, no, there are three alternative explanations of that machlokas. Some Rav Dukuliyam Siman Dar Raisa. Vacha Bishuim Mitzuya Beven Gilo Kemiflagi. Mar Savar Shum Mitzuya Beven Gilo. Mar Savar Shuma Enu Mitzuya Beven Gilo. No, the whole machlokas over there is how likely is it that you're going to find a similar wart on someone who was born under the same mazel as this guy. So maybe it's not such a good siman to begin with. Iba Yisem Dukuliyam Shuma Enu Mitzuya Beven Gilo. Or it could be everyone agrees that this shuma is not expected to be found on someone who has the same mazel as this guy. But over here the question is, do these kinds of simanim change once the person dies? So Marsa Vitanakama holds simanim asim l'shtan sachar misa, and therefore, even though he may have had this shuma while he was alive, it could be that it changed colors after he died. Umarsa v'simanim asim l'shtan sachar misa, but Rav Elazar ben Mavayi holds that we're not choshish that these things change after a person dies. Iba yisema, a third third alternative understanding of this machlokes. Everyone knows these things don't change after he dies. V'simanim d'rabbanan, and regular simanim are only d'rabbanan. So you cannot be matir neshes ish based on the simin. But v'acha b'shuma simin mufagru kamilfagi. Over here, what they're arguing about is a shuma a simin mufag. So because everyone agrees, remember the whole sugya whether simin is d'oraisa d'rabbanan is only by simin she'eno mufag. But if it's a simin mufag, everyone agrees that that's going to work. So marsav shuma simin mufaku, marsav shuma lav simin mufaku. That Rabbi Elazar ben Mavai holds that it is a simin mufak. So even though a simin stam is not going to be matir nisha, a simin mufak is enough to be matir nisha. And Tanakama holds that a shuman is not a simin mufak. Amar Rava imtim some simanim lav dal raisa. So Rava says, wait, I got a simple svara. If simanim were not dal raisa, hechi madrin avedu to besimanim. Why would the chacham be masakein that you could return an avedu to simanim and you might be giving it back to a guy who doesn't belong to? How could the chacham be masakein to give something back to someone who is not the owner of it? If minatora we don't think this is a raya that this guy is the owner of it. Why would the chacham be masakein such a thing? So answer the gemara: denichle lemotzi avedu dinadu besimanim ki. Because the guy who found the Aveda would rather return a Bisimanim so that when he loses something, he'll get things back Bisimanim as well. I'm not worried about the Motze Aveda, I'm worried about the Bailam of the Aveda. The real Bailam is going to lose out through this Takanas Chachamim because you're giving it back to the wrong guy. So it must be that Simanim are to Oraisa. So that's from tomorrow, we'll get to the Ella. So we'll, what the alternative. Version of Rava. Okay, have a great day, everybody.